presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins.
So I would like to ask you to help me welcome the new head coach of the Tampa Bay XFL team, Mr. Mark Trestman. Mark?
Good morning. Oliver, thank you for the kind introduction. I want to thank all of you for coming today. And also want to thank those involved in putting this event together on this beautiful Tampa day, this sunny day in Tampa. I come here today with, honestly, a great level of humility and appreciation to Oliver and his entire staff for the opportunity to be on the ground floor of the rebirth of the new XFL. And I get to do it alongside Bob Stoops and Pep Hamilton and my friend Jim Zorn, as well as other coaches that are going to join us soon. It all started about 2 months ago for me when Oliver reached out. He explained his genuine reasons for taking on this challenge. And without quoting him, he made it clear that he wanted to build the XFL the right way, that honored and respected our game, a league that would be properly marketed, and it would be thoughtfully produced, and it could be sustainable over time. He explained that we could do it professionally in an entertaining fashion, yet creating a product on the field that we could recognize and appreciate under the new vision of Vince McMahon. Oliver was kind enough to come to Toronto in mid-January, just after I had both of my hips replaced. We spent a lot of time talking about the game of football, a game we both truly love, and possible ways to improve it, engage our fans along the way. He was gracious and transparent, and he answered a lot of my questions. And his answers and demeanor made it very clear to me that his process of building the new XFL would be an inclusive process with experienced group of professionals executed at a high level of integrity. And that excited me. And then after speaking with him, I was really convinced that Mr. McMahon was not only enthusiastically committed to financially backing the league and getting it right, but also he was giving Oliver, his new coaches, and his support and operations people time, almost a year, to do the necessary things to get our league in organized and thoughtfully created. And then the closer for me was Oliver. He's a man of great integrity, and he's got experience with these startup types endeavors. For me personally, I'm excited to be in Tampa. I started my coaching career here in Florida, working for Coach Schnellenberger, where he found something in me that I really never saw in myself as a young UM law student, and then on with Jimmy Johnson. Both men taught me a lot about life and a lot about the game as I started my coaching career. I got to recruit this side of Florida during my time as a coach at Miami, and I took the Florida bar exam just a few miles away from this venue. I spent a year with the Bucks in the late 80s before moving on. And I'm also familiar with this region's love of the game, love of sports in general. And I'm humble and confident that we're going to work incredibly hard to give football fans in this area and their families a quality product. And then next February, when we begin to play the games, look at what we have. We're going to have the best climate in all the league for families and their fans to watch quality football affordably. And the other part of it, which is going to be great for our players, is we have the best surface in the United States right here at Raymond James to play it on. As Oliver has said many times in his travels, and I've heard him say that, we're not here in town to compete against the Bucks or the NFL, where I had a chance and good fortune and privilege of coaching for almost 20 years. I've got great respect for Coach Arians. His record speaks for itself, as we all know, and I am certainly confident that he and his staff are going to do a tremendous job of building the Glazers franchise. But we're here today in March of 2019 to begin building a strong, proud franchise in the beautiful Tampa Bay area. to creatively reimagine the game, yet still, as Oliver always reminds us, while still respecting the great game of professional football. Our immediate task over the next few months will be to do an outstanding job and a detailed work in hiring professional coaches, and who will not only inspire our players, but teach them and develop them to be great both on and off the field. And then we'll move into late summer and fall, where we begin to evaluate our player pool. I foresee two or three things. Number one, we're going to see players who have a desire to play in the NFL, and right here, they're going to have the opportunity to show you that they deserve to be there. There'll be others who have played in the NFL and would like to have another shot at it, and they will get it. Some will get it. And then finally, you're going to have some players who know their NFL careers are over, but still love the game. And the common denominator between all three groups, in my opinion, is that they're going to have a tremendous love for the game. Their talent will still be at the level that allows them to play entertaining and exciting football, and they'll have great work ethic. I truly foresee that. This is going to be a great opportunity for young men to continue to play football, the game they love, to get paid for it, and I think positively contribute to our community right here in Tampa, both on and off the field. And finally, and most importantly, as we move into the season, the goal for our team is really simple. Looks simple, but it's hard. Let me put it that way. We're going to try to play as fast as we can, as smart as we can, disciplined and physical football. And we're going to do it in an exciting and entertaining fashion where we'll have a team that not only the XFL will be proud of, our team will be proud of, but this entire community will be proud of as well. So thank you again for having me here today. Oliver, thank you for this unbelievable opportunity to participate in this new league, in this great area, which I am so familiar with. So it's time to get started. Thank you very much.
Welcome to This Is XFL Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Hawkins. This episode today, of course, as you know, last few weeks I have been doing episodes about the coaches that are getting hired by the XFL, Bob Stoops, Pip Hamilton, Jim Zorn. This week it was, surprisingly Tuesday, it was Mark Trestman. I think the Trestman hiring, you know, some people have seen coming, maybe not for Tampa, but he was a coach that was been mentioned with the XFL because of his offensive coaching style. I think a lot of people wanted Jim Leverett to be the coach for this Tampa team because of the way he coached the Bulls of South Florida. But if you think about it, it didn't make no sense in a way, which he still might get a job. But Leverett's more of a defensive coach. He's a defensive coordinator, where the last few coaches have been all offense. And Mark Trestman is no different. He is a very offensive coach, just like Jim Zorn and Pep Hamilton. He has been a quarterback coach before in the NFL. And since, you know, the XFL is wanting quality of play, and the quality of play starts with quarterback play. So it makes all sense in the world for them to hire another quarterback coach, because that's going to be the highest paid position. It's going to be the most important position in the NFL, or XFL, excuse me. And that's going to start the quality of play, is the quarterback. Because without a quality quarterback, your team is going to be garbage. So, and this guy has experience coaching. He's been coaching for a long, long time. He's coached some great quarterbacks. He's even made some not-so-great quarterbacks look amazing, which I'll get into in a minute. Multiple-time Grey Cup champion. His credentials speak for themselves. And even though it might not look like it, he does have some Florida ties, not necessarily Tampa, but Florida ties. And I think he's a great coach for the XFL. When he started playing college football at Minnesota for the Golden Gophers, he backed up Tony Dungy, which is a future Super Bowl winning coach, so it's ironic. He transferred as a senior to play quarterback at Minnesota State University Moorhead. Trestman actually received a BA in political science from Minnesota in 1979 and a JD degree from the University of Miami School of Law. He was admitted to the Florida Bar in 1983. Trestman went to training camp with the Vikings as a defensive back in 1979. Just went to training camp. He didn't make the team or anything like that. So right away, you kind of see why he was picked to go to Florida or Tampa. You know, he does have history there. There's a lot of history. People didn't really know that, though. When they're like, well, Trestman don't make no sense with Tampa. But if you do a little bit of digging, it makes all the sense in the world why he's going to Tampa and why he would join the XFL. He entered football coaching at the University of Miami in 1981 as a volunteer coach. In 1983, he was named quarterback's coach. That year, quarterback Bernie Kosar, who went on to have a great career with the Browns, passed for 2,329 yards and Miami won a national championship. The next year, Kosar completed 262 passes for 3,642 yards, both school records. So we're going to go ahead a little bit here. In 2005, Jessamyn returned to college football coaching as the North Carolina State Wolfpack offensive coordinator, guiding the team to a win in the Meineke Car Care Bowl. However, at the end of 2006, he, along with the entire coaching staff, was fired. So, Jessamyn went to the NFL and was running backs coach for the Minnesota Vikings in 85 and 86. He served as quarterback coach first for Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 87, which, again, a lot of people probably didn't know. So, he's played... Well, he's coached at Tampa before. It's only for a season, but he's been there. So he kind of knows what he is getting into being in Tampa. And then he returned to Cleveland in 88 to coach Kosar. The team finished 10-6 that year, made the playoffs. His promotion offensive coordinator was in 1989. It was before the team named Bud Carlson as Marty Schottenheimer's successor as head coach. Kosar passed for 3,533 yards and 18 touchdowns that season. Which 18 touchdowns don't seem like a lot, but back then it was, like we talked about before. You know, it was a different time then. Kosar passed. And that year also, Webster Slaughter, wide receiver, had a franchise record 1,236 receiving yards. However, Chessman was dismissed with the Browns' third loss in the AFC title game in 4 years, primarily due to his strained relationship with Carson.
He didn't get fired because he's horrible offensive coordinator. Because they went... The AFC title game 3 to 4 years. I mean, they was always just an inch close to making Super Bowl. It was just because he didn't get along with the coach. But that happens sometimes. Sometimes offensive coordinators and head coaches don't get along. Sometimes coaches and GMs don't get along, but he ain't gonna have to worry about that. I think he's a good hire for Tampa. The only thing I worry about is how is he gonna be as a general manager? Like, he's had experience with quarterbacks. He's been a head coach for a couple of years in the NFL and for a good bit in the CFL. But he always had a general manager pick the team for him. So, I know he's got experience picking quarterbacks and coaching quarterbacks. Which other positions, too, but quarterback's his main thing. How is he going to do, though, when he's the one in charge? Like, he is the sole person in charge of picking this XFL Tampa team. That's going to be interesting. You know, when you look at resume... I have him second only to Bob Stoops, which would have ranking later on of all eight coaches. I have him ahead of Pep Hamilton and Jim Zorn because this man has not only coaching experience, but winning experience. And that's what put him ahead of Pep Hamilton and Jim Zorn in my mind. I mean, if I'm wrong, let me know at XFL Podcast on Facebook and on Twitter.
In 1990, Chessman returned to Minnesota as quarterback's coach for the Vikings. He spent 2 years there and then left coaching for 3 years and worked in the municipal bond sales during that time span. He returned to the NFL in 1995 as quarterback coach and offensive coordinator of San Francisco, where he served in that capacity through 1996. The first year in San Francisco, the team led the NFL with 457 points, 644 pass attempts, and 4,779 yards. Chessman later on, the 97, Detroit Lions, that year, Lions quarterback Scott Mitchell, who backed up Dan Marino for a long, long time, passed for 3,484 yards, fourth most in team history. The next year, 98, he was with the Arizona Cardinals as the quarterback coach and offensive coordinator. That year, quarterback Jake Plummer threw for 3,737 yards, and the Cardinals made the playoffs for the first time since 1982 and won their first postseason game in 51 years.
Here's the point I wanted to make in this episode. Not only did he have the likes of Bernie Kosar, who was a great quarterback in the 80s, but he turned people like Jake Plummer and Scott Mitchell into stars the 1 year he was there. He made them look like the second coming. So it makes you wonder, what is he going to do with these maybe third-string quarterbacks from the NFL squads that come to the CFL? Or what is he going to do with like a RG3 or even a Johnny Manziel if they come to Tampa? That's why he got this job, I think. The quarterback's the most important position in the XFL. We know that. They're going to be the top paid players. They're going to be the big names. So if he can do that with Scott Mitchell and Jake Plummer, what is he going to do with somebody that is in that same level but in a faster-paced game, a more offensive game that he is used to coaching? Like, he has coached in the CFL and the NFL. CFL and the XFL is going to be closer, kind of related. XFL is going to be like the cousin of the CFL. I think he is perfect for this job. And out in the East, we got two coaches in the West, two coaches in the East. Right now, Tampa's the favorite based on coaching. I have him ranked ahead of Pep Hamilton. I think he's going to have more success probably in that first year or so as Pep, because he's been a coach before, and he's coached lesser quarterbacks. I mean, Pep Hamilton looked good with the Colts, but anybody would look good with Pep Hamilton, with Andrew Luck. Not everybody would look good with a Scott Mitchell or a Jake Plummer. His next stop was in 2001 with the Oakland Raiders as quarterback coach. 2002, he was promoted to offensive coordinator, and the Raiders led the NFL in total offense with 389.8 total yards per game and 279.7 passing yards per game. He don't run the ball a lot. He is going to chunk it up and see what happens. He's going to air it out, and in the XFL, like I thought before, this is going to be a passing league. The rules are set up to be a passing league, and I think that's why Tampa right now is the favorite in the East. I mean, you can't argue with that. We got St. Louis left, which probably going to be Jim Haslett, is my guess, and then New York coach. He still might be the best coach in the East after those two coaches are named. I know it ain't the sexiest pick of the world, and I get that. Trestman's not the sexiest name in the world, but he is good at what he does. And a lot of people are going to harp about the Bears. We're going to get to in a minute how he wasn't good with the Bears. Jay Cutler was an awful quarterback. Was anybody really going to be good with the Bears? I mean, was anybody really, really going to be good with the Bears? I mean, Smoking Jay, I mean, he was an awful quarterback. Under Chessman's guidance, Raiders QB Rich Gannon won the 2002 NFL MVP, and the Raiders reached Super Bowl 37, which they got curb-stomped by Tampa Bay, ironically enough. Chessman went 2004 season Miami Dolphins before returning to college, which I talked about earlier. In 2007, Chessman spent time with the New Orleans Saints as a consultant for Sean Payton. On December 18th, 2007, Chessman was named the head coach of the Montreal Alouettes of the Canadian Football League. The Alouettes lost 22-14 in the Grey Cup Championship game. At the close of the season, he was nominated for CFL's Anis Gukis Award as the league's top coach, with Calgary's John Huff and Angle winning. So his first season as a head coach anywhere, his first season in Canada, he makes it to the championship game and was up for coach of the year. Granted, Canadian Football League is a little weird. There's 9 teams. But he made it to the championship game in his first year. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, even in any league, to make it to the championship game in your first year as a head coach, period, and your first and being up for coach of the year, I mean, that's the CFL. He's coached all these years, but his time in the CFL is what put him on the map. On March 5th, 2010, Chessman actually won the Coach of the Year award. 2009, Chessman led the Alouettes to win the 2009 Grey Cup, winning with a thrilling field goal with no time left on the clock. After the season, it was announced that he was signed through 2012 season as head coach. Chessman also led the Alouettes to the Grey Cup win in 2010. Chessman is the only coach in Alouettes history to win back-to-back Grey Cups. Under Chessman's guidance, Alouettes QB Anthony Calvillo won back-to-back MVP awards in 08 and 09. This guy makes sure his team's quarterbacks win some hardware. I mean, Bunny Kozar was an MVP, AFC MVP at one point. He was the best quarterback in AFC at one point, which Yannon won an MVP award. And then for the Montreal Alouettes, their quarterback, bam. Quarterback MVP. I mean, that's what he does. He is a quarterback whisperer. And I don't think I think he's very underrated. I think Trestman is very underrated, not only as a quarterback coach, but as a head coach slash offensive coordinator. And I think the XFL said, you know what? This guy's a champion, where, you know, where he goes, especially in Canada. He's the perfect mold for the XFL. Out of all four coaches, I think he is the most perfect coach for the new XFL. In 2012, Trestman was interviewed by the Colts for their vacant position of head coach. The Colts eventually hired Chuck Pagano. In 2013, Trestman was interviewed by the Bears and the Browns for their respective vacant head coaching positions. On January 16, 2013, he was named head coach of the Bears. Of the seven coordinators slash position coaches he hired, he had worked with six of them in Montreal. He worked with six of them, some with the Raiders and some in Montreal.
I think he'll do that again. I think he's going to surround himself with people that he knows. And when he gets to the XFL, he's going to put together staff that he knows, people that he trusts. And I think he's going to kind of do the same game plan that he did with Canada. Get a good quarterback, surround himself with good athletes, surround him with good athletes. And I think he's going to know how to play this chess match, which is going to be the XFL.
On March 20th at the NFL annual meeting, Trestman stated that the read option offense will be a part of the Bears playbook. In Trestman's first game, the Bears won 24-21 against the Bengals, and Trestman became the fourth coach of the Bears to win his first game along with George Halas, Neil Armstrong, and Dick Geron. After winning in week two against the Vikings, Trestman also joined Halas and Armstrong, the only coach in Bear history to win their two first games as Bears head coach. The week 15 win against Cleveland improved the Bears 8-6. The eight wins were the most by first-year coach in franchise history since Patty Driscoll in 1956. He had 9 wins. And the most by Bears coach in his first year in Super Bowl era. Trestman's first season as Bears head coach ended with 8-8 record, second in the NFC North. Trestman's offensive prowess aided the Bears, who concluded the 2013 season with the second-best scoring offense with 445, trailing Peyton Manning and the Broncos, and a 14-place increase from 2012. The Bears also had the fifth-best offensive yardage with 4,281 total yards. The offense also broke team records in total yards, 6,109, passing yards, 4,450. And passing touchdowns 32 and first downs 344. However, the Bears struggled during Trestman's second season as head coach, earning a 5-11 record at season's end. The season included blowout losses to New England and Green Bay midseason, as well as a 5-game losing streak to end the season. Despite this, Trestman spoke with confidence that he would be back as the Bears head coach next season following a 13-9 loss to the Vikings. Trestman and general manager Phil Emery was fired at the end of the season. Trestman issued a statement before leaving. I want to thank Virginia George and the McCaskey family, Phil Embry and Ted Phillips, for giving me the opportunity to be head coach of the Chicago Bears. I also want to thank the coaches and players who gave us everything we asked for over 2 years. I had tremendous respect for this organization. Chicago is a special city with great fans. I appreciate the warm support from my family and from the warm support of my family and I received. Chestman was appointed the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. It was in 2015. He was fired in October 2016 after a 16-10 loss to the Redskins.
I think 2 years weren't long enough for the Bears. I mean, I remember he went 5-11 in his second season, but I still think he had more left. I don't think it was fair for him to be let go. I think, you know, you probably need 3 years to see if your coach is going to be where to go. I mean, he went from having the most wins as a first-year head coach in Bears history to going 5-11 getting fired. So I think they kind of rest his firing. I don't think he deserved to be fired. I think he deserved one more year, if I'm being honest. But he did it back in Canada.
On February 28, 2017, the Chicago Argonauts named him as head coach. Despite being hired late in the offseason process, Trestman's first season in Toronto went above expectations given the circumstances. Trestman inherited a roster that finished last in the league the previous season and got them to a 9-9 record, was good enough for first place in the East and a first-round bye. Trestman was the East Division finalist for the Anis Degas Trophy as a result of his efforts. So he's almost coach of the year again. On Sunday, November 26, 2017, Trestman won his third Grey Cup when the Argonauts defeated the Stampeders 27-24.
This man took a bunch of underdogs who finished last year before, gets hired late in the offseason, and just leads him to a championship.
That's the kind of coach we need in this league. Again, on the surface, it don't look sexy. But this man can coach. I'm going to be honest with you. When it comes to rank the coaches, him and Bob Stoops might be 1A and 1B. I know that sounds crazy. But this man wins other than for the Bears. He'll probably end up being number two behind Bob Stoops. But it's a lot closer than you think because his Grey Cup wins are very impressive. The 2018 season for the Argonauts under Trestman was filled with poor play and injuries, most notably by Ricky Ray, resulting in the team missing the postseason following the Grey Cup championship the year before. Trestman was fired at the conclusion of the 2008 Argonaut season the day following the team's 24-9 loss, which was played on November 2nd, 2018, as a direct consequence of the team's poor performance during the campaign, winning only four games after winning a championship. The 2018 season for the CFL marked the first time during Trestman's CFL coaching career that a team he represented did not reach the playoffs.
Again, like the Bears, I understand they had a horrible, horrible season, went like 4-15, or even worse than that. I would say 4-14. I don't think he's been fired. I mean, he won a championship and he got fired the next season. It's the first time in his coaching career into the CFL he didn't make the playoffs. Why fire him? I mean, why rush to fire him? Even after a poor season, I mean, he just had bad luck with his players. Why fire the man after he just won the championship the year before with a team he crapped? His team overachieved the first year. In the second year, they kind of came back down to earth. That's what happened in Toronto. So, I mean, if anybody looks at his resume, they go, okay, what happened that year in Toronto and the Bears? Well, in that, name a bad part of his resume.
So, in his time in the CFL, he went 72-54. In the postseason, he went 7-3, and he won three Grey Cups. In the NFL, he finished with 13 wins, 19 losses, no postseason berths in the NFL. Mike Tucker is part of his Mel Tucker, the Colorado coach. Is the only quarterback, only coach that was assistant, that's now a head coach under Trestman. On March 2nd, 2019, Trestman was directed an inquiry about rumors that he would be becoming that Tampa Bay XFL team coach. On March 5th, they confirmed that he would be the head coach and general manager of the Tampa Bay team. I loved his press conference.
He said that he wanted a mixture on his team of players that never got a chance in the NFL, guys who've had a chance and want to go back, and then guys that know their time in the NFL is up, but they want to play professional football. That's the kind of coach we need. He knows what he wants to get, and he's ready to work.
Also interesting thing in the press conference is that Trestman said that Oliver Luck only reached out to him 2 months ago. So it was kind of a quick process. Like, we don't know how long Luck's been looking at quarterbacks. You know, maybe they had somebody else in mind, like a Levitt, for this job. And Oliver Luck went, hey, you know, we still got Trestman out there. Trestman even said that Oliver Luck came to Canada and sat with him after he had a hip surgery. And once again, like with Zorn and with Pep and with Bob Stoops, the guy who set the deal on all this is Oliver Luck. Oliver Luck's the reason why we're getting all these great coaches. He's going, hey, we have this idea. We have this vision. We have the money. Do you want to do it with us? Oliver Luck is the reason why we're getting these great coaches. Oliver Luck's the reason why we get these competitive games come next year, because we got competitive coaches that don't want to lose to each other. These are some of the best coaches in the world, and they're not in the NFL. They're in the XFL. Just like the players, they're getting a second chance at life, and they're getting a second chance to show what they can do, and this is especially true for Trestman. Trestman said, my experience in the state of Florida, knowing the love and passion that people have for the game of football, is extraordinary here. There are only three or four states that really do have this kind of passion and this kind of quality players. Luck said, I think our goal of playing that up-tempo, more rhythm, more flow, fewer stoppages, more points, playing that kind of game, I think Mark is absolutely perfect choice to be the head coach in Tampa Bay. I think he is perfect for this league. I think he's the kind of coach that we need in the XFL. And I think he's going to be one of the best offensive minds in the league. I think he's a better coach than Pep and Jim Zorn. I can't wait to see him and Bob Stoops play each other. It's going to be like an offensive chess match. And these coach announcements get me just so excited for the league. And I can't wait to see who the next four are. So far, if you're keeping track, Bob Stoops in Dallas, Pep Hamilton in Washington, D.C., Jim Zorn in Seattle, and Mark Chessman is a Tampa Bay coach. Thank you for joining me. Check me out on Facebook and Twitter at XFL Podcast. Check out XFL2K.com for all the news. Check out his YouTube page for the videos of my podcast. And the pre-show for all the press conferences that we have. Four more pre-shows to go. We're also going to do hopefully a draft show come draft time. Also, check out our Discord, XFL2K's Discord. All football, all XFL talk, all the time. It's so much fun. I'll be uploading the show on there, too. If you have any questions for me, you can hit me up on there. I appreciate y'all. I appreciate everybody that listens to my podcast. Have a good night, and I'll see you next week when the next coach gets announced. I'm thinking it's going to be Houston. The weather alternating, but who knows. Again, check out XFL2K.com. Check out our Discord. Check out my podcast at XFL Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. And check out XFL Board, Discord, all that good stuff. Thank you and have a good night.